Every year in the United States, there are 15,000 murders, give or take a few hundred. Of those, nearly 40% go unsolved. My name is Christina Walsh, and you're listening to Forgotten. It's a little intimidating to start this episode because I know there are a lot more of you listening now than we ever used to have. I started this show because I needed a way to process some things, and my mom used to be a reporter, so it felt kind of natural to do this as a report. Kind of. I made this series because I'm not a real reporter with a studio or a network or an outlet of any kind, and audio is something that a 22-year-old nobody can create in her dorm room. Or more recently, a string of motels. My first episode had exactly 4 downloads in its first week. Me, Gabriel, and Sophie, all of whom are in it, and then Sophie's cousin, Gemma, who is just a really nice person. We're still driving their car, and we've gone about 10 states farther than we initially asked for when we borrowed it from them. Thank you, Gemma. You're amazing. I'm honestly more scared to record this third episode than I was to look for a cult in Ohio. We're not in Ohio anymore. And we're not really looking for cults. We're headed to California, to Los Angeles, to downtown Hollywood itself. That's where Leona McPherson disappeared. And that's where Gordon Spillane disappeared. And if you listened to the second episode, you know that there are a ridiculous number of similarities between these two cases. Both were killed in Los Angeles in the mid-90s. Both were killed by an arrow in their back. Both had their left eye removed after they were dead. Those are the salient crime-related similarities. But there are more. Both were from marginalized groups, a woman and a black man. Both were famous artists at the top of their fields, a violin virtuoso and an abstract painter. And both were completely forgotten after their deaths, not just by the world, but by their fans and even their own families. My trusty roommate Sophie and I drove to Columbus, Ohio to look for clues with Leona's family, hoping we could find something there. But now it looks like LA is the better bet. We've been assured by experts that the cult angle is a dead end, but now it's looking like some kind of serial killer. So we got Gemma's permission to keep their car a little longer, and we're headed west. Today, we're in Flagstaff, Arizona, and tomorrow we'll make it to LA, and then I don't know what we're going to do. I've got a list of people I want to talk to, but I don't know if any of them want to talk to us. At the very least, I'm buying Tracy Clark some flowers. We'll see. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All of you. Hi, everyone. This is Christina Walsh.
And Sophie Kwan.
And we're in a Starbucks in West Hollywood. We chose this place because it's very public, which makes it a much safer place to meet with a stranger.
Hi, my name is Lamar Davis, and I am not fully convinced that this isn't some kind of plot to kidnap and murder me.
Listen, dude, if anyone's gonna get kidnapped and murdered here, it's us. So don't even think about trying any funny business, okay? We have plenty of listeners, and we're streaming this live right now to all of them. So if you even clear your throat wrong, they're going to call the cops on you so freaking fast, your eyes will spin around in their sockets like a cartoon character.
Okay, look. We're all very nervous because something clearly very weird is going on. But we also all agreed to travel here and meet each other. And I think that's a sign that we trust each other enough to at least have a conversation, right? We drove here from Ohio. You drove here from Portland. We're here now, so let's at least share some information, all right?
Fine.
Great.
But I'm watching you.
Hey.
Yeah, well. Look. I didn't mean to start anything, all right? Well, it's been tricky, you know? I mean, I've been trying to research the weirdest case I've ever seen, and everyone has either lied to me or shut me out or had hysterical memory loss, none of which makes any sense at all. And then you come out of nowhere with exactly the same story, but a different person? I mean, it's hard to believe, but there's too much evidence not to believe it, you know?
I know. We've looked into your guy, Gordon Spillane, and independently determined a lot of the same information you gave us. So we're pretty sure you're telling us the truth.
Yeah, well, I've done the same with Leona McPherson, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you're telling me the truth as well.
Great.
We even talked to an extra source in the LAPD.
Yeah, we went to talk to Tracy Clark, just on the off chance that she was lying through her teeth about everything, but she wasn't in the office this morning, so we had a different guy look up all the same case files. Josue Aguinaldo. He found the same stuff Tracy did. Both people were kidnapped, shot with arrows, and de-eyeballed. Exactly like she told us, with no evidence that the records have been tampered with.
We even saw the original pages, handwritten from 94 and 95. And I'm done believing that this is a mass conspiracy designed to trick three college students into making idiots of themselves online, so this is real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And freaky as hell.
Okay, so let's start with the eyeballs because I feel like that's going to be the key here. I suppose technically it's not a pattern until we find a third victim, but this is starting to look an awful lot like a serial killer.
Or, get this, a copycat. Maybe somebody read about Leona's death and tried to copy it with Gordon.
That seems pretty unlikely. Leona's death got almost no coverage. If someone was trying to throw the police off the trail by making it look like their murder of Gordon was connected to somebody else, why pick Leona? Nobody knew about her. The cops didn't even connect the two.
Yeah, but these are the worst cops I've ever seen.
No, I'm not convinced that they are. They have exemplary records, stellar performance reviews, and everyone involved has a string of successful cases a mile long. We did a whole episode about this. I don't think the cops are corrupt, and I don't think they're incompetent.
No? Well, then how do you explain it? How did they miss all of these giant mountains of evidence?
I mean, these crimes were all pre-internet, right? So maybe they just didn't have a good way of cross-referencing different cases?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point, because frankly, I don't know how anybody got anything done before the internet. But, but we can't sit here and say that they didn't. I mean, they solved that other huge string of crimes you mentioned, so why not these two?
I don't know. But I think it will be more productive, at least for now, to focus on the crimes themselves.
Sweet. So we've got a serial killer who steals people's eyes. That's a big deal, right? And since we do have the internet now, it's gotta be super easy to cross-reference that and find other eyeless corpses the LAPD has just laying around.
Eyeless artists. That's clearly part of the MO. Okay, so check it out. I've been doing some research, and serial killers tend to have a very specific profile for the people that they hunt. The Son of Sam killed a bunch of people in New York in the 70s, all of them young women with long, dark hair.
Right.
People even started wearing blonde wigs to avoid them. Some killers want prostitutes, some hunt homeless people, some hunt married women or families, but they've all got, or at least most of them, have got a recognizable pattern. Leona McPherson was a young white woman in her 20s, and Gordon Spillane was a black man in his 50s. The only thing they have in common, really, is that they were artists.
They were also out-of-towners. Maybe this killer was hunting artists, or maybe he was just hunting tourists.
Why, though? I can totally believe that a guy who wants eyeballs would try to get the best eyeballs, and I can think of a lot of reasons why he'd think that artists have the best ones. I don't know if they actually do, but I can believe that this psycho guy would believe that they do. It makes a kind of thematic sense, but I can't think of any reason to collect tourist eyeballs. Unless he was trying to get one from every state or something.
Oh, maybe he was.
Guys, you know, the people at the other tables are looking at us funny.
It's okay. We're reporters.
No, we're not.
Sure we are. We're reporting something, right? That's literally what reporter means.
Yeah, but we're not trained. And sure, this is the age of DIY everything, but that's not helping us actually solve this case or find any answers. For all we know, the people listening to this are only doing it because they love watching morons stumbling around screwing things up. We're not a true crime series. We're an epic fails compilation.
Look, reporters don't know any of this stuff either. They don't have law degrees. They study communications or, you know, I don't know.
Maybe journalism, where for all we know, they do study law and crime and whatever other thing. We're all humanities majors. You're art history. I'm music history and Sophie's performance.
Yeah, really?
Tello virtuoso, bitch.
My point is, speculating about this killer is just going to spin us in pointless circles. And maybe it's interesting to listen to, but I personally would much rather listen to answers than questions. I want to know who did this and why. Not what three randos on the internet think about who did this and why.
Well, if you're so smart, then why don't you just... Why do you think he took their eyeballs?
I don't know. Maybe he was hungry.
Ugh.
Oh, that's disgusting. Chris, come on.
Oh, hi. Don't worry. We're reporters.
Maybe he was stealing artist eyeballs, but I doubt it because Leona wasn't a visual artist. Why not steal her ears or her fingers if you're after the parts that relate to her art? Or maybe the art has nothing to do with it. Maybe he killed tourists because they were, I don't know, easier. People from out of town are probably easier to kidnap because they're untethered from their lives and their homes and their families. People don't notice they're missing as quickly. Or maybe we're wildly overthinking this and it's just a guy who worked in a hotel who killed tourists because that's who he saw all day.
That's actually a really good idea. What hotel was Spillane staying in?
The Beverly Hilton.
Hmm, fancy. But pretty far away from the Roosevelt Leona was in.
My point is, we don't know. Hmm. And until we get more information, we can't know.
Well, all right then, let's get some information. You want me to research the eyeball thing?
And I can research the hotels. If they've got staff records, we might be able to find a link between the two.
Good. And I'll look for arrows, I guess. I'll go back to the police station and talk to Josue again. There's bound to be something else about bow and arrow murders, right? Let's find what we can and then come back here tonight.
Yeah, okay, except I don't think they want us back here.
It's okay. We're reporters.
Welcome back. It's Christina, right?
Yes, and you are Jose?
Josue. It's just like it, but with a W. Jose is like Joseph. Josue is like Joshua.
Thank you. I'm sorry for pronouncing it wrong.
No, no problem. What can I do for you?
Before I ask anything else, do I have your permission to record our conversation? It's for that crime series I told you about before.
The one about the murder cases? Yeah. I don't know. Everyone around here is pretty touchy about being recorded, you know? Just as a general rule. It doesn't bother me, but let me check with the captain.
Thank you. We're back. This time in an interview room. It's not the full deal with the one-way mirror and everything. Just like a small conference room. Josue is with me, and we have his captain's permission to record our conversation.
I've also got a laptop, which is connected to the station archives, and we're going to use it to search for past cases involving arrow wounds. Cool. This is so much more entertaining than what I usually do all day.
The captain did tell Josue to vet everything before he shared it. I can't even see the screen. If anything is part of an active investigation or anything like that, he can't tell me anything about it. So, let's go.
All right, so let's start by narrowing the search. How far back do you want to go?
How far back do your records go?
As far back as you want, really. Oh. The LAPD was established in 1853, and our entire archive was digitized in the early 2010s.
How long does a serial killer typically operate?
That's not my expertise. But they can have long pauses between their victims, sometimes several years long. Lonnie Franklin Jr., that's the Grim Sleeper, if you've heard of him before, he was killing people from 1985 up to 2007, with a 14-year gap from 88 to 02, so it's really hard to say.
Holy crap. Let's say 1980, then? That's 14 years before Leona McPherson.
Sounds good to me. Let's see what the old database kicks out. Okay. Well, there you go. We had one just a couple of years ago.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, take a look. I mean, don't take a look. I'm not allowed to show you. this was October 2020 in National City.
Is that in L.A.?
San Diego. I expanded the range for you a bit since we're partnered with some of the other departments. This was a transient man who shot another transient man at a campsite. Guy's in jail pending trial.
Transient meaning, like, homeless? The guy who killed Leona was probably homeless. He was squatting in an abandoned house.
I guess it could be the same guy, but... Well, first of all, this guy was 39 years old. That puts him at, what, 13 years old in 1994?
Oh.
Probably not capable of kidnapping and murdering an adult, though I suppose it might be generational.
Like, he was the first killer's son or something?
It's rare, but it happens. Serial killers who raise their children to follow their footsteps. But so few of the details line up here. The guy in 2020 called the police on himself, and he didn't steal the eyeball, and he wasn't shot in the back. Both of the other victims you had me look up were shot in the back.
What if this was a child witness to and participant in the 90s killings and then tried to start again on his own and couldn't go through with it?
Maybe. I mean, I don't want to tell you you're wrong, but nothing about this feels right.
Okay.
You can tell when something's a serial killer, you know? Like, there's a ritual to it. This is just some guy who was hungry and used what he had on hand to fight off a competitor. And look, there's another one in 2014 up in Lancaster, and another one in 77 in Mira Loma.
Yeah.
They're all clear crimes of passion, with known perpetrators, all of whom were unrelated and all of whom were arrested. No eyeballs involved in any of it. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow up on these. For all I know, they're connected to your killer. I have no idea. I'm just saying that McPherson and Spillane were definitely, clearly the same guy, and none of these are even remotely similar, outside of the weapon used.
Well, then... Well... Okay. First things first, can you give me the names and case files of the ones you found?
These three? Sure.
And any others aside from them?
It's just the five. These I just mentioned, and then the two you already know about.
There's gotta be more than that. Can we refine the search or something? How about arrow wounds that people lived through?
Let me type it in. Boom. 647 results. Going as far back as 1861, though a lot of these older ones are literally in the Wild West era, so they're not really crimes so much as the natural result of encroaching on native land. And keep in mind, these are just the ones that got reported, either to us or to the hospital. There are probably two or three times as many as that that just never got reported at all.
Ooh, well, I can't study 600 and whatever the hell incidents in any kind of detail.
You cannot.
Right.
Or at least not without dedicating months to it and probably finding nothing.
But then, what ties it together? Because this is clearly a serial killer, right? Am I crazy?
It definitely looks like one, but who knows? The similarities are too strong to ignore, so it's a very safe bet that McPherson and Spillane are connected. But you gotta remember that serial killers are, by nature, unstable. The media loves to portray them as masterminds, and some of them are definitely clever, but sooner or later, even the smartest ones implode. They do what they do because their brains are broken, and because of what they do, they almost never have anything remotely resembling a support system. No one can keep going like that forever. Maybe your guy only made it through two before he cracked.
Maybe. But then, wouldn't he have cracked in some visible way? Something we would notice and something involving a bow and arrow?
I say again, it looks like that, but who knows? The science we've built around unstable criminals is itself unstable. There's no criminal mind super team that can come in here and perfectly predict what happened.
So we have to go with what we know for sure, which is two people kidnapped and murdered in the 90s, shot in the back, and an eyeball removed. And no other crimes like it ever again.
Not in SoCal, at least.
So he might have moved on, or he might have changed his methods. We're looking for a bow and arrow, but what if that was incidental? What if some other aspect of the killings was the important part?
If you want me to do a search for everyone shot in the back, you're going to get hundreds of thousands.
No. Not just anyone shot in the back. Kidnapped people shot in the back. Listen, I talked to the officer who found Leona's body, Hensley something, Blake Hensley, and he said it looked like she'd been let go and then shot. That's the part I was ignoring. Leona and Gordon weren't just kidnapped. They were bound and held, and then for some sick reason they were released before they were killed. Or I don't even know if Spillane was. Can you look that up?
Sure. Yeah, here it is. Okay. He had rope marks on his wrists, clearly bound and gagged, but there were no bindings on him when the body was found, just the gag. Which doesn't prove that he was unbound before he was killed. Mm-hmm. Maybe the killer unbound him after while he was taking out the eye, but it definitely could be.
Then that's what we're looking for. People who were kidnapped and then released and then attacked from behind. Bow and arrow, gun, knife, I don't know, sword, Morningstar. Can you do a search for that?
Absolutely, but how much time do you have? This could take a while.
I got all the time in the world. I'll just pause the recording and smash cut to tonight when I tell my friends what we found.
Holy crap, you are not going to believe what we found.
You're not going to believe what I found.
You're definitely going to believe what I found.
No luck on the hotels.
Neither the Roosevelt nor the Hilton keep employment records dating back 27 years.
Go figure.
It's like these giant corporations don't even care about our tiny little amateur hour investigation.
Guys, listen, I'm not kidding about the news I have. It is insane.
Then we need to go somewhere safe. After what I heard, I don't want to be out on the street any longer than we have to be.
Agreed. So do you ladies trust me now? Can we go back to my motel without you thinking I'm going to murder you?
Sure.
Your motel? Is that where your accomplices are waiting?
Sophie, for crying out loud.
I mean, come on. What? You mean you want me to know where your motel is?
Obviously not.
We'll go to Lamar's hotel. We both have mace. Sophie's got a pocket baton. And none of that matters because he's not trying to kill us.
No, I'm not.
Fine. But I reserve the right to tell you I told you so when we're kneeling in shallow graves we dug ourselves.
All right. We are now in Lamar's hotel room, where I am pleased to report we have not been murdered. So let's hear what you learned about the eyeballs.
Okay. All right. Now, this is super gross stuff, so I apologize in advance.
Okay.
All right. I went to the LA County Coroner's office and talked to one of the assistants there who did not consent to be recorded, so I have no audio from the meeting. And she helped me look through the autopsy records dating back 50 years.
Wow, that's a lot of autopsies.
Mm-hmm. They were all digitized, so it was pretty easy to search through. We started with the search of corpses with missing eyeballs, which turned up about 300.
Wow.
I would have expected way more than that.
More than 300 carved out eyeballs?
In one of the largest cities in the country over 50 whole years?
What do you think people do down here? Take eyeball carving classes?
300 missing eyeballs, but that's not limited to carved out ones. Honestly, about half of them were just electrocutions.
Oh, gross! Does that destroy your eyeballs?
Oh, yeah, it can. The coroner lady said it melts them.
Oh, that is grotesque.
That is awesome!
All right, well, so we filtered out the electrocutions and the animal attacks. You know, a lot of coyotes down here, it turns out. And house fires and whatever. Anything that might have destroyed the eyes through natural causes. That left us with about 68 bodies where the coroner is pretty sure the eyes were removed by the murderer. We went through those one by one and weeded out the ones that were obviously not our guy. You know, people who were caught, people who were way too early, crimes of passion.
Wait, what do you mean way too early?
Well, once we got a good look at the data, I actually think Leona was the first victim.
Police archivist and I came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, there were a handful of missing eyeballs from like the early 80s or whatever, but the methods were completely different. Some of them were crimes of passion, like I said, an angry son who kills his dad and then mutilates the body, that kind of thing. The crimes that seemed the most similar to Leona and Gordon, kidnapping victims who lost their right eye specifically, those were pretty easy to identify. And they run a pretty solid block between 1994 and, 2022.
Wait, what? This guy's still killing?
I mean, it looks like it, yeah.
Well, then, I'm chaining this door.
I don't think we can swear on this series. We have like a clean rating thing.
This tiny chain! I'm shoving this dresser in front of the door. And I'm gonna be putting that mattress in front of the window, so get off the bed.
I think I can bleep it out or something. Let me Google how to do that.
Okay, come on. Guys, what? Focus. I need you two to focus. Forget the doors, forget the beeps. This just got real, okay? All right, now, this isn't a weird historical project anymore. This is now. We have to deal with this now.
I know we do. It's just one problem at a time.
How are you so calm? You thought Sparky McArt School here was scary? You thought cults were scary? Some is right here in this city killing people and stealing their eyeballs, and we have been talking about it on what I am now being told is a super popular investigation. This killer could be listening to us. He could be downloading our episodes and snickering to himself while he sharpens his eye-gouging knife. What do you even use to take an eyeball out? A spoon? Or like a sharpened melon baller?
I'm calm. Because we found the same thing at the police archive. Lamar, how many victims did you find?
Is it 20? Is it more than 20? Is it more than one a year?
Okay, it's 42. Look, some years there were none. One year there were five. It averages out to 2 victims every 3 years. That's 1.5 per year.
Yeah, we know what 3 divided by 2 is. That's not the pressing issue. We need to call the police, Christina.
Police already know.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That's where you got all this data from.
I mean, yes, but they hadn't already put the pieces together. At least the cops didn't. The guy helping me was as shocked as I was to find everything. I bet the coroner was the same.
Yeah, pretty much. She said they'd never put the cases together before. She gathered all the info and started a new case file.
I think we broke a major case.
How is this possible? 42 identical murders in 27 years makes this one of the hardest working serial killers in the business. And the cops didn't even notice it, let alone find the guy?
I don't think it's the cops' fault.
You keep giving them a free pass on this crap.
Because I really don't think it's their fault. Look, Lamar found 42 eyeball removers. I found 48 kidnapping victims who were attacked in the back. 42 exactly, if we leave out the ones who, aren't artists.
Whoa. All artists?
And wait a minute. Attacked in the back with an arrow?
Only 3 on my list were arrow victims, but I actually don't think the arrow is a meaningful aspect of the crimes. I think it's just what he had on hand for his first 3 murders. We talked about this morning, but Josue explained that serial killers have a pattern, not just in who they kill, but in where they kill, how they kill, why they kill, everything. Sometimes it's ritualized, like the Black Dahlia guy who kind of arranged bodies for people to find. Sometimes it's just out of necessity because they don't want anyone to find the body and they can only think of one way to hide it, so they keep doing the same thing over and over. So, our guy has some pretty clear marks in his pattern, right? He targets artists. He kidnaps them. He takes out their right eye. Everything that stays the same is part of the pattern, and everything that changes is not. Well, up to a certain point. Some things can change because the killers themselves change over time. They get more desperate or they take bigger risks, things like that. our guy dropped the abandoned house thing after just the fourth or fifth victim. After that, the bodies started turning up in ditches and empty lots and stuff like that.
There's no way he killed them out in the open. He must have been moving them.
Exactly. It's another standard thing for a lot of serial killers. They get more sophisticated after the first few kills. Josue thinks he might have built himself a lair somewhere, for lack of a better word, a house or a warehouse or something specifically designed to hold the people he kidnaps and then kill them when he's done.
Done with that?
Well, this is the part that I figured out.
You're bragging.
Well, what else am I going to do? Not get good at the thing I've been obsessing over for months? I'm not bragging. I'm just competent, okay? I figured something out. Let me have this.
I'm sorry. You know I support you in everything. Girl power, team action, force, go. I'm just a wreck right now.
Yeah, well, hello. I think we all are.
Okay.
What did you figure out?
Okay, so the bow and arrow weren't really part of it. Not a meaningful part of it. I think that's just what he had on him when he started, back when he was living in alleys catching stray cats for food. No, the key part was the bindings and the attack in the back. None of the bodies were tied up when they were found, but all of them had been tied up while they were captured, and every single one of them was attacked in the back. That's not how you execute someone. You want to show power over them, or even if you just have them tied up in any typical way, the natural angle for that death blow to come from is in the front. This guy was capturing people, sometimes torturing them, and then letting them go, and then shooting them in the back.